Well, Father, I just truly do thank you and praise you for all that you've done so far tonight. And you're always faithful, Lord. You always meet us right where we're at. And Father, the people did come and their joy was with them tonight. And Father, just let this joy remain there. The enemy can't steal anything else from us because you said he is finished. You said this is our year of jubilee. You said this is our year of total complete victory. And Father God, we've already stepped into it. Now we're just going to grow. We're just going to grow in you, Father. And we're going to bring others into your kingdom so they can grow also. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. I don't know about you, but we have something to rejoice about because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is alive and well. Tonight I want to talk about the whirlwind of love, all right? Tonight I want us to understand that God's ways are past to finding out. God's love is eternal. It has no beginning or end and no limit, for his love is vast, all right? It's large. Got a little bit of a sore throat here tonight. Wow. God's perfect love casts fear out of his beloved. Love wills a person good and everlasting welfare, never harm or evil. Love gives freely to the object of its affection, holding no record of wrong. Romans 5:8 tells us, herein is love, that while we were sinners and enemies of God, he sent his only son Jesus to die for humanity. All right. And James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. Amen. That's the gist of that scripture. Tonight, we need to understand that we are the friends of a loving God who laid down his life for us. Get that in your spirit. Tonight, we need to understand that we are the friends of a loving God who laid down his life for us. Joel 2:13 tells us that our Father is generous, slow to anger, and quick to love. All right? Our Father is generous. He has a storehouse of blessings in heaven that he would like to pour out down upon us. But he said, we're not ready yet to receive it. He's slow to anger and quick to love. You know, he is long-suffering, and he is full of mercy and full of grace. But, you know, it's just like one of your children when, you know, you just keep giving them love and giving them love and giving them love and mercy and grace, and all of a sudden you say, wham, that's enough now. Straighten up. You know, then your wrath comes after you've given them love and more love. All right, God is not a vengeful father. His forgiveness is unfathomable. Would somebody turn off the air conditioner for me, please? Even though I know it hurts him significantly when we get caught up in sin, he is quick to forgive us when we ask him to. You hear me? You need to be quick to run to the Father and say, I'm really sorry. You need to really repent. And when you do that, then he is quick to forgive you and quick to lift you up and quick to bring you back into your rightful place in the body of Christ. Joel 2:12, but there's also this. It's not too late. God's personal message. And this is what God's message is. Come back to me and really mean it. Come fasting and weeping, sorry for your sins. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why. God is kind and merciful. He takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot. This most patient God, extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophe. You guys that did the wedding seminar, I think some of you need to hear this again, so I'm going to read it again. But there's also this. It's not too late. God's personal message. Come back to me and really mean it. Come fasting and weeping, sorry for your sins. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why. God is kind and merciful. He takes a deep breath, put up with a lot. This most patient God, extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophe. Amen. I want to stop there because now I'm going to meddle in somebody's business. Yeah, we had the marriage seminar, all right? And Brother Brett stood up here and said that it took him 4 years to decide whether or not he wanted to be married to his wife. And, you know, I sat there with my little teeth clenched, and I said, you know what, buddy, if that had been me, you'd have been out the door. If you have to take your 4 years to decide you're going to love me and stay with me, then I don't need you. That's where I come from. And I really think it's really wonderful that Sister Nancy could sit there for 4 years and battle all the thoughts, you know, because they brought this out in a marriage seminar now, you know, thinking, what's wrong with me? What have I done or what am I not doing? And keep trying to change herself so that he would love her. Now, she fits the scripture of Joel 2, chapter 12 and 13. It was not easy, and I know that because I've lived this type of life. It's not easy to sit by and watch some man decide whether or not he wants you. Isn't that right, Tina? I said that because of her expression. You know, who do you men think you are? Really? Now, some women do that too, but there's more men that do it than women. And this is the God that you claim to be serving. You sit in the house of God. You claim to be a child of God. Let's read that scripture again. But there's also this. It's not too late. God's personal message. Come back to me and really mean it. Come fasting and weeping. Sorry for your sins. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why. God is kind and merciful. He takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot. This most patient God, extravagant love, always ready to cancel catastrophes, always ready to forgive, is who he is. Always. You know, when I was married to a man who was a runner too, I was always trying to be something I thought he wanted, you know, because I watched women he ran with. I thought, well, maybe that's what he wants. And so I was always trying to change to be that person. Then finally one day I decided to stop that mess. I was me, and if he didn't want me, that was fine, because I was going to find my own happiness with God. I didn't need that man to make me happy, because he would make me very miserable. Are you listening here, ladies? You don't need a man to make you happy. All you need is God. And if they want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant all by themselves. And you just go ahead and you just enjoy God, and you go along and you do the things God wants you to do, and be happy while you're doing it. And don't regret it later on either. Amen. See, I said all that, you know, brought that out to let us see that God is a loving, forgiving God. And if we really love God, we are going to be loving, forgiving people. And, you know, if we can't, you know, love the one that God put us with, because I know their marriage is of God. If we can't love the one that we're with, then we can't love anything or anybody. Because that one you're with is a gift from God. Are you listening here, guys? We need to stop the junk, and we need to start loving. The world is watching you. The church is watching you. They see how you react to each other in the church. They listen. They watch. You know, we're not dumb. We see. You know, all right, let's take Brother Chris and Sister Catherine. When they first got married, I thought they were going to sit in each other's laps. Now they sit with two chairs apart. Chris sits there like, I'm the king. And Catherine sort of looks at him like, be my king. And he won't touch her, nothing, you know. I'm serious. But yet he gave a marriage seminar telling him what you should do to be married. Now, come on. What kind of life do we live here? It is not a life of love. It's not the life God wants us to live. And this is why we can't win the souls to the church, because we don't know how to show love to our spouses or our children or our brother or sisters. I didn't know I was going to go there, but thank you, Jesus. You know, we've got this thing all backwards, and we have to learn how to love. God said I saw a prophetic word. This is why I'm reading this, because he told me there was going to be a reformation of love in the house of God. About 2 years ago, he gave me that word. I was looking for something else, ran across that. But you know what? It hasn't happened yet, and we've been preaching love for that long or longer. And, you know, we sing the songs about how much God loves us, and we say, oh, God, we really do love you. We just raise our hand. No, you don't love him if you can't love your spouse. There's a problem with spouses in here tonight, so get this and get it right. Amen. You don't love God. You quit singing these songs, because it's not the truth. You're singing a lie. I see you shouting and dancing and carrying on. And for what? It's not doing God any good. It's not doing you any good. In fact, it's bringing condemnation upon you. All right, Lord, I'm going back to my message here. All right. God sees where souls spend eternity. All right, we read this scripture, so he has extravagant love. He's always ready to cancel out catastrophes. God sees where souls spend eternity. He weighs the devastation a human causes against the judgment of their soul. You know, what you do to yourself, God weighs that. He sees the cost they will have to pay if mercy doesn't have its way in them. That's how God looks at us. He sees what you're going to have to pay if he doesn't show you mercy. So even though it hurts him to hear the slander against his children, he waits, hoping his beloved child will return to him and learn to love others. We need to learn to love God first, then ourselves, and then others. And you people in here say, well, you know, you just can't love God and he's not a faithful God. You know, get out of here. And if you say, I can't love myself, then get a deliverance. Get that junk out of you. And don't sit over, stand around and say, well, I don't need a deliverance. Yes, you do. If you can't love yourself, there's a problem there. And you need to get rid of the problem. All right, learning to love. Number one, loving your neighbor is loving yourself. Number two, it is protecting your soul from the devices of the enemy. Number three, it is creating a harvest of mercy in your future when you need it. Number four, it is worship to your God. And number five, love is always warfare, releasing a destructive force to the powers of darkness. Love always overcomes darkness. Even though you husbands and wives, you like to use your hand to overcome the darkness. Smack them up along the side. They had to get their attention, right? But love always overcomes darkness. It really does. Satan cannot understand love. All right? He is hopelessly defensive against it. Love is the greatest power on the earth. And for those who understand it, it holds the key to great blessings. It's not worth hating somebody. It's not being ignorant to, it's not worth being ignorant to your friends, your family, your spouses. It just is not. That kind of stuff does not bring blessings. Love brings blessings. Mercy has no equal in the realm of darkness. And when we embrace love, not hate, we totally destroy the plans of the enemy. All right, so you big guys who think you're all that in God. Well, my marriage is from God. Yes, it is. And that's why it's being fought. And you're given ground to the enemy because you allow him to cause you to be ignorant to your spouse. So who are you? Why do you do that? Your marriage is called to God, and you couldn't wait to get to that altar and get to that motel room or hotel wherever you went. But now all of a sudden you just can't stand your spouse. What's the problem here? You know, the enemy is going to fight you tooth and nail. God just gave me a word about Brother Brett, because I asked. And he said the enemy fights him every day, telling him he doesn't love his wife. Is that true? All right. And well, it has to be. And so Nancy and I are supposed to cover him every day, his mind, because the enemy then won't have an inroad into that. See, it isn't the fact he doesn't love his wife. It's the fact that the enemy is telling him every day that he doesn't love his wife. See, so he has to choose what he's going to give into, the voice of the enemy or the voice of God or his own emotions, really, too. All right. So, guys, it's, you know, and women, it's up to us. What do we do? Where do we draw the line? How far do we allow Satan to go before we finally say, then you know what? Then you get a divorce. Say, well, her fault. Get out of here. No, it isn't. It was yours because you yielded your members to the enemy and you believed everything he was telling you instead of believing what God said. Every marriage that is of God is fought. Now, marriages that are not of God are not fought. Pay attention to what's going on around about you. But every marriage that's called of God is fought. And if you really allow the love of God to grow within you and pour that love into your spouse, then the enemy will have no foothold. This is the truth. I want you to get this tonight. Why do you think you've been married 3-4 times? Wow, you're just like all the other women. You're just like all the other men. No, you had a problem and you never got it resolved. You never got that love issue resolved. You never got that thing that happened to you as a small child, you know, resolved, that caused you to be hurt and then rejected. And so you pour that onto somebody else. It's your poison that you're pouring onto somebody else. And see, if you get that straightened out, then you'd be a love vessel. And then when you're married, that love would saturate the other person. I didn't say it would change them, but the love would be there and they wouldn't be able to say it wasn't. All right. So I said, love is the greatest power on the earth. And for those who understand it, it holds the key to great blessings. Mercy has no equal in the realm of darkness. And when we embrace love, not hate, we totally destroy the plans of the enemy. We cause him catastrophic damage when we bless those who curse us. And we protect our own soul when we release the kingdom of heaven through our words. We protect our own soul when we release the kingdom of heaven through our words. And our words are either love words or they're hate words, right? Think about it. Who do you want to hurt more, your brother or sister in Christ or your adversary, the devil? Come on. Your love walk is being fought for every day and every second of your life. The enemy does not want us to love, because if we love, then we defeat his kingdom. We tear down darkness. And you'll quit wallowing in the things that happened to you in the past. They are the things that are killing you. Get rid of those things and move on. Amen. Gabriel tells me he loves me so much he doesn't know what he'd do without me. But tonight he said, did you put some makeup on? I said, yeah. He said, well, you look like a clown. That's love. I said, what? That's not love. That hurt my feelings. Amen. Now, if he really loved me, which he does, he wouldn't say foolish things like that to me. And what do you say to your spouse? Think about that. What do you say to your spouse? What do you say to your children? What comes out of your mouth, love or something from the pit? This is a word that God spoke. This is again the hour of reformation. This will be a reformation of my love and of my presence, and one where people, cities, and churches will come back to life and awaken from their slumber. He said that this is also to be a time of great renewal, refreshing, and restoration. He says, I have opened every door and it is now up to you to walk through every one of them. He says, I am changing things in this hour to make everything more organic and more simple for my children. In the days ahead, there will be more and more safe places where they can love me extravagantly and be loved by me and each other. And this is what the God is trying to do to the houses of God. He's trying to get us to be love vessels. He's trying it to be when you walk through the door, all you feel is love. You don't hear the gossip and the bitterness, but all you feel is love, and that love will draw you to Christ. Not to people, but to Christ. And he's having a hard time getting a love walk down in the houses of God. All right, in every season of the church, God seems to bring a dominant message that he wants to convey, and that message is needed to be conveyed to reach that generation of his children with the gospel. For instance, one of the great messages of the Reformation was saved by grace. And then we had the message of Jonathan Edwards in the Great Awakening of sinners in the hands of an angry God. All right. Today, we believe that the message of God's unconditional love, which marked by his amazing great grace, is a message that must be conveyed to the world through his bride, you and I, as we live and preach the gospel. Are you listening here? We are to be known for love, not judgment. We are to be known. And ladies, you have to be careful when you go up and talk to a married man or a single man, because, I'm sorry, men's brains are wired different than women's. And when you walk up to a man who's sitting by himself, whether he's married or not, and you start a conversation, immediately they say, ah, that one wants me. And what they do, then they start then go under prowl to get you, because after all, you singled him out when he was sitting all by himself. So you have to be after him. That's the way it's seen. That shouldn't be in the house of God. You know, we should be able to talk to each other no matter where. And, you know, it should just be that we're brother and sisters in the Lord. All right. It happens to women too. You know, men will walk up to a woman, single them out. And that woman says, oh, he's interested in me. She's married. He's married. Oh, he's interested in me. I've watched this happen over the years I've been in, even in church. Why does it work like that? You know, we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're not supposed to be whoremongers, right? And we should be comfortable with one another. We shouldn't be uncomfortable with each other. I have found out ever since I got born again that men in the church are a mess. They are. Men in the church are a mess. You walk into the house of God, and if you're married or not, first thing they do is want to get real friendly with you. You know, give you those little handshakes, you know, those little meaningful handshakes. That's not love. And this is what God is trying to get out of the church. He's trying to get us to really, truly be children of God who are full of love, not lust. We lost my place. All right, we're to be known for love, not judgment, right? The doors are open to embrace this love reformation, and this is a generation, us, where the church of Jesus Christ will be known no longer for judgment or condemnation, but for his great love and light that will pour forth effortlessly through her. You hear that? We are supposed to have the love of God and the light of God pouring forth through us. Why? So we can draw the lost and the dying to Christ. So what does that love look like? Number one, it looks like the love that forgives like Christ forgave the woman at the well. Number two, the criminal dying beside him on the cross. Number three, the Roman soldiers and religious zealots who murdered him. It also looks like the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says radical things like, love your enemies. This is what the love looks like. Number five, it looks like the love that will touch and hug those who society says are untouchable, and will see the church once again called, like Christ, a friend of sinners. All right. Number six, it looks like bringing soup for a neighbor who is sick and sitting with a family member in a hospital. This is all what love looks like. Number seven, it looks like helping your children with their homework and your spouse with their housework. That's what love looks like. I don't see much of that. Do you? Come on. This reformation sets God's great love back in its place as a defining characteristic of any follower of Jesus. For far too long, the church has been seen by the rest of the world as judgers rather than as lovers. We're always judging. We're always condemning. You know, we look at the face and we never look past the face into the heart to see it as Jesus sees it. And this is what has gotten the church into a lot of trouble. We will see a confident and set-free generation of sons if we get into this love walk reformation. So let's walk through the doors together and embrace this love reformation that will usher in a great harvest in these days ahead and bring unprecedented glory to God. All right, let's stop there. When you watch Chris Tomlin and Phil Wickham and those up there on the stage, you can tell they really do love the Lord. And it shows in their eyes. It shows in their bodies. It just shows all over them. And it's contagious. You want to get up there and dance like a fool too. Amen? Because, you know, they really love the Lord. See, this is what's wrong with some praise and worship leaders. They're messed up. They really don't. Well, they might love the Lord, but they're so messed up it won't come to the surface. And so they're standing up there, you know, leading praise and worship with their messed up mess. And it's going out onto the people and nobody's getting anything out of it. Come on. The people who have God carry the answer. The people who do not know him need the answer, and the answer is love. They do not need love because they might be saved, but truly they need love because it is our commodity. C.S. Lewis said that joy is a serious business of heaven. To establish heaven here on earth, we must release love. You know, God is so wonderful that he spoke to me about the church. You know, you people don't have no joy. Your joy has been zapped out of you. So he said, I want you to bring joy into the house of God tonight. We were going to have the balloons, but we didn't think about it till too late. But, you know, I'm glad that you entered into that joy. I'm glad you entered into the presence of the Lord. But I look at you now and you look like sour pusses. See, the joy should stay. It should bubble up. It should change you. See, Chris should be saying something nice to his wife. Brett's trying to crawl through his wife back there, you know. We should all be so excited over what we just did. We just praise the Lord with all of our heart, I thought. You know, was it just, I hope it just wasn't just a fluke. I hope you weren't doing just because I said you had to keep me joyful. If I don't dance and shout, she'll get on me later on. No, you do it because it comes to the very depth of your being. Amen? Come on. I've lost my place. The outpouring of his love. I came up in a generation of church that practiced they will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's how we were taught in the Baptist church, which is all right. That's fine. All right. But over time, I realized God, Jesus, was not looking for the open, but he was simply looking for the people who would love. Jesus just simply cared. Amen. What if loving unconditionally truly is getting nothing in return? What if loving unconditionally truly is getting nothing in return? What if they never care to know what you know? Are you listening? We are about to see an outpouring of his love, a winner of love, if you will. And wouldn't it be a shame if y'all sitting in here with your old sour pusses, you know, on you, when that outpouring happened, God passed you on by because after all, you wouldn't enter in when he tried to teach you to enter in. And that's what he's going to do. Come on. I heard that there is a restaurant that attached mistletoe to the bottom of a drone to fly over tables to encourage kissing and a show of love. Well, maybe, no, I wouldn't do that in here because people would be kissing the wrong people. But anyhow, in reality, our perspective is heavenly. Our seatedness is above. What if we are the drone that brings a sign of intimacy, the value of love to the table? You know, God's table, the house of God. What if that table is the table of the Lord, situated in an unpeaceful circumstance, that God, through us, might bring peace? You want to read that again? I heard that there's a restaurant that attached mistletoe to the bottom of a drone to fly over tables to encourage kissing and a show of love. In reality, our perspective is heavenly. Our seatedness is above. What if we are the drone that brings a sign of intimacy, the value of love, to the table? What if that table is the table of the Lord, situated in an unpeaceful circumstance, that God through us might bring peace? You know, in other words, God can put you in a mess, but he wants you to be that drone, that person, that vessel of love that can bring peace into that place where you're in, where it's a mess. Amen. You know, a situation happened in my house this morning. I said, it doesn't matter. We just need help. We just need to help these people. You know, and my grandson, he was in the bathroom throwing up like crazy. He needed the hot water, you know, and I had a baby who was sick and had diarrhea, you know, and I was sick, and I called Teresa, please don't dilly dally in town. Please get back. I need help. Well, blah, 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 blah. I said, it doesn't matter. They need help. I don't care if it's their own fault. They need help. I need help, you know. So who cares how it happened? There was a need in the house. And instead of saying, well, this now, just do it. Just do what needs to be done. You know? And my grandson kept being, Mama, Mama. Well, I put somebody else to help him while I was doing the baby. And finally, I went over and he said, Mama, are you sleeping? I said, no, honey, I'm not sleeping. I said, your son's sick. And he said, please stay with me because I need you to pray. I need you to stand here, Mama. I need to feel the presence of God. He said, why is God letting me go through this? You know, and a couple of days ago, he was cursing God, wearing skull bracelets. But this morning, he was, Mama, please come and stand in here because I need to feel the presence of God. Are you understanding this? Come on. He didn't call for anybody else in the house. He wanted me in there because he wanted to feel the presence of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? He knows I love him unconditionally. He knows I'll be there to help him no matter what. He knows who to trust. I need you guys to really listen to this tonight, because are you that love vessel that others will pull on when they have a need, when they're hurting, when they think they're dying? Come on. All right. let's read Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. If God does that for you, then why don't you do this for others? We have moved from a place of taste and see to a place, can you hear me now? See, God's saying, can you hear me? Can you hear that still small voice? Because I'm not going to shout and scream. I'm just going to come with my still small voice. I'm not going to bring the thunder and the lightning. I'm going to bring my still small voice. Can you hear me? Is what God is saying. God had to reveal to us his love and even move us so that we could hear him. While God is omniscient, sometimes it is hard to hear him where you are. Are you listening? He may move you, or you may move you so you can listen. In other words, you might be in a place where you can't hear the voice of God. You just might have to move yourself. Move yourself out of the room. Move yourself out of the building. Move yourself out of the car. You just have to move yourself so you can hear the voice of God very clearly. Does this mean we will not see? I think he has applied salve to your eyes in this hour. Have we been hard of hearing? I think perhaps simply because we were so focused on seeing. We were so focused on seeing the things of God that we didn't hear the things of God, the voice of God. All right? We get so busy with other people, too, that we don't take the time to hear the voice of God. Oh, I saw an angel, but did you hear the voice of God? Oh, I had a big vision, but did you hear the voice of God? You know, like I told you about the lectionist, there one pastor, he said he listened to everything everybody had to say, you know, and he read everything there was to read, and then he finally made his decision who he was going to vote for. I never heard him say, I prayed. I never heard him say, I heard the voice of God. Are you listening here? You can do all these other things, but are you hearing the voice of God? Are you truly hearing his voice? That's where the bottom line is. I think, well, I know that too many people don't hear the voice of God, don't take time to even talk to God to hear his voice. They just do out of their own flesh, and they do wrong. Amen. You know, I read where one prophet said, they keep asking me, have you heard anything about who's supposed to be present? Well, yeah, for a year God's been speaking to me, and they said, don't be surprised that your prayers aren't going to be answered the way the top prophets are saying. And I'll give a statement after the election. Get out of here. You're afraid to say what you said and heard because it might be wrong, right? I know when I hear God and I shouted it out, this is what God said. Amen. I don't like that when people say that, well, I'll tell it after the election or after something. You're afraid of what you heard. And you don't want to be called a false prophet. I just say what I heard. And, you know, if it isn't right, then it isn't right. I even say sometimes, I'm not quite sure if this is God or not, but this is what I heard. It's never not come to pass. But, you know, I do throw that out there because sometimes, you know, you prophesy, you're not quite sure if it is God you heard. Because it just sounds so far-fetched. But God is far-fetched, isn't he? Love is in the air. Come on. Carrying the atmosphere of heaven is our world. Releasing it is our mission. I said, love is in the air. Carrying the atmosphere of heaven is our world. Releasing it is our mission. Joy and unconditional love may well just be the... Now I can't say that word now. Say it, Astrid. What is that word? Of heaven. I could say that until tonight. All right, that word... Thank you. Is a chemical substance secreted externally by some animals, especially insects, that influences physiology, or behavior of other animals of the same species. In other words, you put off an aroma that attracts other people or other species. And you know, one time somebody told me I can always tell who I can make out with. There must have been a smell or an aroma there, you know. But spirit calls under spirit. Smell calls under smell, right? Come on. So anyhow, we're supposed to be carrying that. that smell of love should be emanating off of us so that people are drawn to us by that love that they feel when they're around us. All right? 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So the next time someone says you smell good, that's just the end of the statement. Just as I was reading, I thought about the one time years ago, we was in here and I said, yeah, there's God, you smell God, I smell God. And I was really caring about the smell of God. And Larry, he always poofs me anyhow, you know. And here come to find out that Chris had sprayed some, he passed gas or something, and he sprayed. And that's what I was smelling. I said, isn't that a sweet aroma? And then, of course, he had a heyday with that. But anyhow, they say you can smell God. I've never smelled him, but they say you can smell God. All right, so I said 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So the next time someone says you smell good, is it your perfume or is it the aroma of God, his love? Amen. And remember, this, I'm just recapping what I said. Remember, you can quit, Brett. He's going crazy back there. He can't quit laughing. Then one day, when we were talking about the angels have feathers, and one day we went out the door and God was really moving here. We went out the door and said, oh, look, there's a feather. Larry said, it's a pigeon feather. Put it down. Always trying to bust my bubble. Well, it was a pretty feather anyhow, pigeon or not. Amen. Come on. He keeps me close to God. You know that, don't you? Okay, remember though this. I'm going to recap what I just said. Number one. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You can go ahead and laugh at me. I don't care. That's my job, to bring laughter tonight. I laugh at myself too. Come on. I'd rather be stupid for Christ than walk with the devil, wouldn't you? All right, let's recap this. Number one, God sees you reaching your greatest possible destiny in and through him. God sees you. Now, you might not see your own self, but God sees you reaching your greatest possible destiny in and through him. And number two, God always views us through his eyes of love. Number three, when we agree with the way God sees us, we begin the transformation process. Number four, this allows God to accelerate things in our lives once we start the transformation process. Number five, we begin to catch up with God's timetable. Number six, he is able to restore to us the years that the devourers of failure and missed opportunities have consumed. And number seven, the more we hunger for God, the further we will grow in our ability to taste his goodness. You have to be really hungry for God, guys. Number eight, we touch God with our heart and see the internal wonders of his beauty with our eyes. Remember the guy who kissed all the trees when he got born again. He was so in love, he just thought the trees were beautiful. Number nine, when we passionately love God, we delight in the discipline of spiritual pursuits so God can trust us with great riches in both the natural and spiritual realms. In other words, we don't get upset when God disciplines us. We just go ahead and let God do what he has to do so that we are the vessels of honor that he can work through. And there isn't one of us in here tonight that doesn't need to be disciplined every now and then, because we all get stupid in our walk with God. People around about us can make us stupid. You make us get out of the love walk, and you really have to bite your tongue and stomp your feet and carry on like a fool just to get yourself back into the love walk. Because the devil worked really hard. You know, he works through vessels just like God does. He will always put a vessel in front of you trying to get you out of your love walk. And he does a very good job with me every now and then. I mean, you know, puts people in front of me, make me get out of my love walk. But I have to fight to stay there. So you have to fight to stay there. It's a battle we're in. He wants to take our love away, and God wants to increase our love. And who's going to win this battle? Is your love going to be increased? or is Satan going to steal it from you? I'm hearing God say it's all in the ball game. You have to keep batting until you win. This love walk is a serious walk. And it's a walk that Satan does not want us to walk. And you know, there's more divorces in the house of God than there are out in the world. Why? Because Satan fights our love. And Satan knows if he can get our love, then he can make this church look bad. And people won't want to come into the house of God. I just heard last night that somebody I know got married again. Every wife he had, I think, died or something. And he's married again. I said, well, you know, hope it makes it. He's a really, 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 really good person. And, you know, his wives were always really, really nice, but they seemed to die on him. And, you know, I just hope he makes it, you know, a little bit more than a year or two. But he doesn't give up is what I'm trying to say. He keeps right on loving, just keeps right on smiling, you know, and he doesn't let these things, you know, stop him. He just keeps right on going. After a bit, you think he'd get mad at God or something, wouldn't you? You know, here I am, you know, you take all these wives away from me. But he doesn't. He just keeps right on smiling. I wish we would do what, like he does. All right, God's love is eternal. It has no beginning or end, no limit, for his love is incomplete. There's that word again, vast. It's very large. All right. Now, do you believe that or not? How much love do you have? And, you know, you don't have to worry about giving the love away because as you give it away, God increases it in you. Sometimes I think we're afraid to give it away for fear we won't have none left. Well, no, that isn't how it works. As you give away, God gives back 100-fold. You'll find out that you have more as you give it away than you had before you gave it away. And this small group, I'd hate to have a church of 5,000 people that are all messed up like this. This small group is a handful. I wouldn't hate it, but you know. Can you imagine what goes on in the big churches though? Because nobody can really minister to them, you know, on a one-to-one basis. And, you know, it's just all just something thrown out there. But see, I have you all here and I can just really pick on you, you know, point out your flaws. That's why I tell myself so you can't say, well, look what you did. Because I always tell myself, right? That's fun not to have any skeletons in your closet, isn't it? The devil, you're free. You know, the devil can't come in there and threaten you with anything. So tonight, how many skeletons do you have in your love closet? Is your love closet tainted? You know, is it not the love of God? You know, or is it your own human love? Your human love isn't going to make it. You have to have the true love of God in you and working through you, or you're not going to make it with God. Your foundation has to be love. You have to love. You know, you think, well, you just don't know what, you know, I don't really care what happened to you because you just don't know what happened to me either. You know what I'm saying? Why do we keep saying that? You just don't know. Well, I don't need to know. All I need to tell you is give it to God. If you can't get over it, get delivered from it. And then move on because you are destroying your own life. You're not having any fun whatsoever because one time somebody did something to you, so you're going to make everybody you meet pay for that, what that's one somebody did. In the meantime, you're dying and going to hell because you won't get free and won't learn to love. Tonight, what God wants to set you free, he wants to give you freedom to love. He wants you to step into this love reformation. And he wants you, you know, men and women both, he wants you to quit thinking everybody looks at you, wants you. Dear Lord. Then we had to wear blinders all the time. So dark glasses or something, so we couldn't look at each other. You quit dressing so somebody else, you stand out and somebody else notices you. Because that does happen. People dress so other, somebody, and the sachet around. Stop that kind of stuff. That's not of God. That's lust. That's not love. Let's just love. From a pure heart, and that love will win the world to Jesus Christ. Do you know that that's what the world's looking for, isn't it? The world's looking for love, isn't it? And so they're looking for it in all the wrong places, in bottles, in drugs, in needles, you know, wherever, on a prostitute on a corner, wherever. And they're, but they really need the love of God. You know, if we're going to go out in the street corners and start winning souls to Christ, we need to get the love walk going first, or we'll find ourselves laying up in bed with some man out there or some woman, you know, because that evil thing in you will draw you to that evil that's out there. So tonight, I want you guys to really think about really hard. Do I really want God to change my heart? Do I really want God to burn all this dumb worldly junk out of me and place His real love in me? Or what do I want from God? And if you really want God to move in you and to burn the junk out and then replace it with His love, His agape love, that love that is unconditional love, that love will love anybody. I didn't say go to bed. I said love anybody. Minister to them. Then that's what God wants to do to you tonight. He wants to empty out all the junk, and He wants to bring His true love into your vessel. Everybody in here could write a book about what somebody did to you. There's no one of you in here couldn't. But that's not going to help you. It's not. It's what are you doing for yourself through Christ? How strong of a love walk do you really want? How far in God do you really want to go? Come on, now we're going deep tonight. God's washing away all the junk in our life. Amen. He's washing away all of our junk, and He's filling us with His love. God's saying, let go of all the what ifs and just walk in the purity of His love.